From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Some concerning news from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention as they've reported a new human case of avian influenza, this time in the state of Missouri. Dr. David Pate, the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, as well as the co-author of the book Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak, is joining us today to talk more about this and some other public health issues going on. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
Now, folks, remember, if you have a public health question, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, remind us what avian flu is, or what some folks call bird flu.
Right. So this is an influenza virus that is in, it infects waterfowl, and then those waterfowl fly over or land on areas where we have domestic poultry farms and backyard chicken farms, and they, through their digestive waste, deposit the virus, and then the poultry or our domesticated birds can be exposed to the virus and become infected. And so it's an avian virus because the natural host is birds. The receptors that the avian viruses use are not ones that humans have a lot of and not readily available to this virus. So it's unusual for humans to be infected with this virus. However, in the decades that we have been monitoring these kinds of infections where humans do get infected, usually because they have prolonged exposure to these infected birds, it has a high mortality rate. And so it is very, very concerning in that regard. What has happened most recently is that back in March of this year, we detected that this avian influenza was actually spreading among dairy cattle in the United States. The first time that, other than under experimental conditions, we had seen this virus naturally infecting cows. And so since March, we've been looking at this, and unfortunately, it continues to spread. And every week, we get reports of new herds of cattle getting infected and more states getting infected. So we've not yet contained the spread of it. And over the course of the year, this is now the 14th human case of the avian influenza infection. Now, why this case is concerning that happened in Missouri is the previous 13 cases were all in people who had this close occupational relationship with poultry farms, dairy farms, that kind of thing, where they would be in a lot of contact with animals. This person reportedly did not have any such contacts. So there needs to be a lot more investigation done, but this raises the level of concern because the question is, how did this person get infected? Now, there's two potential possibilities. If in fact a thorough review does reveal that this person had no contact with infected animals or dead animals, and that would be one, did this person drink raw milk? We don't know that raw milk ingestion can cause influenza disease in humans, but it does in animal models. And so there's a concern. Also of concern related to that is we know that the virus that the avian influenza virus that has infected cows has gotten into their udders. And then we find sky high levels of virus in the milk. And that is one of many reasons why we urge Americans, please do not drink raw, unpasteurized milk. There is a thought among some people that that is of health benefit. It is of no health benefit to drink raw milk, and it only causes the potential for various diseases. So the good news is the pasteurization process does kill the virus. And so now the question is, did this person, if they didn't have contact with animals, well, did they drink raw milk? We don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I haven't seen anything published about that, but that's a natural question. If the answer to that is no, then this is very concerning, because it means that this person somehow got exposed and probably transmitted from another human, which has not happened before, and would certainly increase the risk of this spreading further beyond just farm workers.
So, Dr. Pate, we saw cases here in Idaho this past spring and summer in herds of cattle. So with that said, I would think that if we are thinking about this person in Missouri, and we don't know if they drank raw milk or not, but because we have bird flu here in Idaho because of these herds of cattle, how concerned are you that we could now potentially see a case like the one in Missouri?
Well, we have to be on alert, and certainly with 13 cases already that have been identified. And let me just comment, we think we have missed lots of cases. That we do not think that 13 is the whole universe of cases. And the reason why is that many farm workers may not have access to healthcare, or may be concerned about losing their job if they seek healthcare. We have certainly received many reports that there have been many farm workers, I'm not talking about Idaho now, I'm talking about across the country, that have had flu-like illnesses that they just kind of let them play out. So this is an unusual time of the year to be getting seasonal influenza. So that is concerning. Could they have had something else? Could it have been COVID? Could it have been any number of things? Yes, but we're not testing them, and so we don't know. But our immediate concern would be for those that are working on these dairy farms that are involved in the milking process of cows. We think that is likely how the farm workers get exposed. But we also know there was a case in 2022 of someone that got infected who was working at a processing plant where they culled chickens, and that person got infected that way. So the most immediate concern is for the workers. But certainly if this case in Missouri shows that there is community spread, then that will be of concern for our entire country.
Okay. But at this point, Dr. Pate, for Idahoans, I mean, maybe best thing is if you are drinking raw milk, maybe not do that right now.
Yeah, that's a definite. Please do not drink raw milk. It's not just avian influenza you need to worry about. There are many potentially serious infections you can get from that. If you think you're getting health benefits from it, you are not. And please don't do it. And please never give raw milk. Even if you're taking the chances with your own health, please don't give it to a young child. It can just be devastating. Please don't do that.
So I want to turn now to some news out of the Central District Health and Southwest District Health, because last week they sent out a news release, Dr. Pate, and they stated that we have seen 171 cases of pertussis just reported in our region so far this year. Now, we only had 10 total cases in 2023 in our region. So what this news release said is that is a sharp increase. So I want to begin with the basics of this. What is pertussis?
So most people will know pertussis by the more common name of whooping cough. And this is caused by a bacteria that can be transmitted when people are in close contact, and particularly when a person has the early stages of whooping cough, which seem like any other viral illness, and they might have some fever, they might have a cough, they might have runny nose, that kind of thing. They can transmit this bacteria to someone else. And what happens is that over time, then it becomes this more distinctive, what we call whooping cough, because especially in young children, they will often have a series of coughs followed by taking a deep breath and then a sound that sounds like a whoop. And so it's kind of distinctive, but the bacteria can be readily transmitted to each other. Many people recover from this fine, but it is a miserable infection. But the other thing is that young children and older individuals are at risk of getting more serious disease, pneumonia, other things that can land them in the hospital. So it is serious. And it's unfortunate because we have a very highly effective vaccine for this. And all young children should be getting this vaccine at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months. And then again, between the ages of 4 and 6. And pregnant women should talk to their obstetricians about getting this vaccine around the 28th week of pregnancy, because then you can help protect that child and protect the mother from getting it and transmitting it to the child, or vice versa. And mm-hmm. and that includes everybody else in the family that's going to be around the young child, the father, the grandparents. You want to make sure that they're vaccinated. And this vaccine is very, very effective. It's very safe. We've used it for many decades. This increase in the pertussis case is very concerning and suggesting that there are more people that are not keeping up with these routine vaccines. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was going to ask Dr. Pate, as to any idea as to why we're seeing such big increases. And I do know that, you know, during the height of the pandemic, so many people, you know, rightfully got behind on vaccines with their kids. But this is a vaccine, as you mentioned, that starts at 2 months old. Do you think the biggest issue is that, you know, people just haven't kept up on those vaccines for whooping cough in particular, if it's, you know, if we're seeing it in children?
Yeah, I think that during the first part of the pandemic, obviously it was very challenging to seek healthcare. The healthcare system at times was getting overwhelmed. And I do think some routine care got interrupted and people intended to get it, but just got behind. And then we can catch people up with these vaccines. So talk to your doctor if you haven't gotten these vaccines. I think the second thing is that many adults may not understand the importance of them getting this vaccine. We actually combined this vaccine with the tetanus and the diphtheria vaccines. So you can get all three in one. And for adults, it's recommended that you get this vaccine every 10 years. And some people just lose track. Hopefully your doctor's monitoring this and giving you the boosters. I just got mine, my last checkup. And so I think that can be it. But the other thing is, there is no doubt that the anti-vaccine movement has made progress lately, and there are more people that are leaning anti-vaccine and more people that are vaccine skeptical. And unfortunately, what we see when that happens is we start seeing childhood diseases that are really bad that we had pretty much wiped out. And we start seeing things like polio, which we've discussed on previous shows. We start mm-hmm. seeing things like measles. Measles is one of the first indicators. And you remember we talked a year or two ago about an outbreak of measles here in Idaho, in Nampa. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the warning sign that we may not be keeping up with our vaccines. And then Of course, when you take kids and you put them back in school after the summer, they're going to all share and increase the risk that those kids that are susceptible are going to get infected and take it home.
So before we go into break, I want to go back to something you mentioned, and this is adults getting vaccinated for this. I was not aware of this. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners were not. And I'm thinking back to like, okay, when did I get a tetanus shot and all of that? I believe it was during my last pregnancy. That was 13 years ago. So I guess just we should be asking our doctors about this.
Right. And talk to your doctor. There are several options. For younger adults, the doctor may decide just to give the tetanus diphtheria booster, TD. But once you get into your 40s, you are going to be at more risk from getting a whooping cough. And so oftentimes we will give not just the TD, but the Tdap, which includes the pertussis. And again, especially like the situation you mentioned, pregnant women, we want them to get vaccinated with it. Typically, all of the family members that are going to be in close contact with the child, caring for the child, we want them to get vaccinated. And then we certainly have to worry about people my age that might be around a grandchild, or maybe you work in daycare, maybe you work in a school, maybe you work in a pediatrician's office, where you're going to be around kids, you need to keep getting the boosters, because like most things, this immunity will wane as well. And the disease is especially hard on young infants and older individuals.
There is a new case of dengue fever being reported in Los Angeles. So before we get into this, what is dengue fever?
So this is a disease that typically occurs in the tropical and subtropical parts of the world. And it's a virus, and it's transmitted through the bite of a mosquito. And what the concern is that with climate change, that we have seen more mosquitoes moving northward into the United States, and some of these mosquito-transmitted diseases that are really quite unusual for the United States. In the past, we've talked about Zika, we've talked about chikungunya, we've talked about, in fact, just recently, we talked about the Eastern equine encephalitis virus. And so these are mosquito-borne diseases. Dengue is one, and typically most doctors in the United States have only seen a case of dengue from somebody who has traveled to one of these areas where it is more endemic. What is notable about this is now three cases in California that without travel history. So it appears to be locally acquired, meaning the mosquitoes there have been exposed to this virus. We have seen dengue, particularly in Florida, but not in a whole lot of other states, and now it's in California. The question is, are we going to be seeing more spread of these kinds of diseases and even other diseases that we have kind of wiped out, like malaria, yellow fever? Are they going to make a resurgence in the United States with global warming and movement of these mosquito vectors?
Are there any treatments for this when you get this? Because like you said, when you sent me this, I was like, what in the world? I didn't think you got this in the United States.
That's right. And it's a rough infection. Some people get very mild cases, but some people get very sick. It's even nicknamed breakbone fever because of the intense muscle aches, bone aches, back aches, headaches. It can be quite severe in that regard. And then there's a rarer form, about 1-4% of people can get a hemorrhagic fever. Usually we think because of that you've been exposed to dengue before and now you get infected, particularly with a different type. There's four dengue serotypes. And so we think that may be the highest risk, but there's no treatment. We treat people, often those that are the most sick are in the hospital. We treat them symptomatically. We give them fluids. We treat their pain, that kind of thing, but there's no effective treatment. There is a vaccine, but currently that's only approved for children and those that are going to be residing in areas of the United States, related areas where it is endemic, like Puerto Rico, that kind of thing.
So I want to talk about COVID for our last couple of minutes together today. Oh, we saw an uptick. Is that starting to level out again, Dr. Pate?
It sure looks like it. It's this has been a very high surge that we've had this summer, and certainly the highest going back to school surge of the pandemic. And it's been very, very high. I mentioned in the last show that I thought that it was probably peaking, but it was a little early for me to tell. It does look like it is peaking now. If you look at the percent test positivity, that seems to be coming down. The wastewater level seems to have hit a peak and is coming down. Hospitalizations, which we know lag infections, have been going up still, but now it looks like maybe they're peaking. And of course, we know then the last indicator is deaths. Deaths are still increasing, but I think it's because we're at the tail end of this peak where it's peaked and now it's going to come down. I don't know how fast it's going to come down. Frankly, I'm surprised it's not coming down a little faster. That's probably because of this particular variant. It's just infecting an awful lot of people. And then the question is, how much of a reprieve are we going to get until the next variant causes a wave? And of course, we always expect that as we get closer to the winter time.
And we do have that new COVID vaccine out, so folks should be getting it.
Absolutely. It's recommended for everybody 6 months of age and older. There are three vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna, which are the mRNA vaccines. And those are the only vaccines that children 6 months to 12 years of age can get. But there's a third vaccine, Novavax, which is not mRNA. It's our very typical protein subunit type of vaccine that we've used for decades, very safe. And that one is for people 12 and older. So if you're over 12, you have a choice of three vaccines. If you're under 12, you have two vaccines that are choice. And then it is recommended that everyone get vaccinated. The FDA does not expect to approve another vaccine until next year at this time. So some people are trying to decide about what's the right timing to get it and which vaccine they want to get. But yes, those are coming out and becoming increasingly available. There's still some drugstores that don't have it yet, but more and more every day.
Well, I should say I went and got mine yesterday at my local Albertsons pharmacy, and they had Pfizer and Moderna, super easy to get. But with that said, Dr. Pate, very quickly, I've got 1 minute left with you. They also offered the flu vaccine. Not time yet.
Not time yet. The flu vaccine protection wanes, and it won't get you through the entire flu season if you get it now. So just wait until we give you the heads up that we start seeing the seasonal flu activity increase. And that may not be for a month or two. So just keep listening. We'll tell you when it's time. Go get your flu vaccine. Don't get it right now.
All right. As always, appreciate all of your time, Dr. Pate. We've been talking with Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and the co-author of the book, Preparing for the Next Global Outbreak. Remember, if you do have a public health question, make sure you send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu, and we will try to answer those questions next week. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's tight.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday, on the NPR Politics Podcast.